Welcome back, everybody. We are here for what is season three, technically trial two coverage from Legally Dirty Blonde. And initially, I wasn't going to cover this case because, you know, I'm not going to lie, I'm pretty goddamn biased given my love for the plaintiff, Johnny Depp, which runs deep. If anybody knows me, my love for JD runs pretty goddamn deep, and it goes back to when I was a teenager. So more than half of my life, I've truly loved this man. But to be fair, a couple of listeners asked me if I was going to cover it, and I saw some pretty controversial shit on the internet this week, and it got me real riled up. And you know, I just feel like I've gotta put some of these facts out there. So hold on to your butts, people. This one is gonna be a real dramatic ride for the next, what did they say, 4 to 6 weeks? Yeah, 4 to 6 weeks, people. Okay, so like I said, today we're gonna go into the background of how we got here with this case, this Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard defamation case, into the background, and we will talk about some of the pre-trial motion shenanigans that took place before this trial started on Tuesday. So let's get right into it. Okay, so let's get into some background real quick. We got to get you filled in on this background. And when I say real quick, we're going to go real quick because there's a lot more I could go into, but I think you'll see what will come out at trial about the background of this entire situation. So I think we all probably know who Johnny Depp is from any number of movies you can think of. Edward Scissorhands, What's Eating Gilbert Grape, of course, Pirates, Captain Jack Sparrow, the list goes on. Amber Heard is the defendant here. She is Johnny's ex-wife, and I think most people know her from the Aquaman movie. I think she's Aquaman's girlfriend, honestly. Haven't seen it, won't be seeing it, but she's definitely not Aquaman. Anyway, basically, these two met on the set of Rum Diaries in 2009. She was still with her ex at the time, and he was still with his ex, the mother of his children, Vanessa Paradis. Basically, they didn't start dating until around 2012. They got engaged and married in 2015. On May 27th, 2016, Amber Heard goes to LA officials with a bruised face and files for a restraining order against Johnny Depp, claiming he brutally assaulted her. She shortly after that files for divorce, citing irreconcilable differences. So at this point, there's a lot of news going on about Johnny Depp being an abuser, but after a lot of contentious back and forth, which we will be getting into later in the trial, but I'm not going to go into details now, after some contentious back and forth between Johnny and Amber, they release a joint statement basically saying, like, listen, nothing anybody said about these allegations was true. She also withdraws her restraining order, and they just want to move on, blah, blah, blah. She is ultimately given $7 million in a settlement. She says she's going to donate it to the ACLU and the Los Angeles Children's Hospital. Spoiler alert, she didn't. Again, we will get into that later. One reason I really don't like her, and that's just one. But like I said, trying not to be biased. Moving on. Okay, now let's jump to December 2018, where Amber Heard writes an op-ed for the Washington Post. And in this op-ed, she discusses her experience as a domestic and sexual abuse victim and survivors. She specifically says, you know, 2 years ago, I became a public figure for women who speak out against DV, and I experienced all the backlash and so on and so forth. And bam, after that, JD is dropped from Pirates and he's asked to resign from Fantastic Beasts. So clearly, you know, he's not thrilled. He's not thrilled after being smeared as a wife beater in the Sun publication in the UK, and we'll get to that trial in a minute, hold on. And now he's being smeared again by this bitch, so he sues her for defamation. And let me just point out that in this Washington op-ed, she does not specifically say Johnny Depp, but she does reference the idea that 2 years ago I became the public face, XYZ, 2 years ago was 2016 when she got this temporary restraining order. So, anyway, he sues her for defamation for these claims in the Washington Post op-ed for $50 million. Amber, being the annoying bitch she is, she counterclaims for defamation in the amount of $100 million. So initially she had a number of counterclaims about defamation that Johnny Depp said or somebody else said. Basically, most of those got thrown out. The only ones that we have left are, I believe it's 3 remaining statements, and they're actually not statements made by Johnny Depp himself. They're statements that were made by Johnny Depp's prior attorney, Adam Waldman. And, you know, I'm not exactly sure how the Virginia law works on that, but I don't really know how they're going to attribute statements made by Johnny Depp's attorney in another case to Johnny Depp in this case. But, you know, we'll get into the more legal discussions down the road. So as much as this UK case and this UK trial that happened before this case, it really isn't relevant to the case in the US, I do want to touch on it just really briefly to give you a little bit of a background. Basically, the publication The Sun, which is a UK publication, wrote an article, and it basically, in the headline, called Johnny Depp a wife beater. And so Johnny Depp sued The Sun in the UK. And yes, he claimed defamation, and he did lose. Lots of things with that case, though. You know, there's a lot of different standards between there's very different standards in defamation cases between the UK and the US. There's also a judge, only one judge. There's no jury. And specifically, this judge actually didn't let experts testify. He didn't let either side's experts testify because it was taking too long. And like, that is just something that you would not see happen in a U.S. case. Experts in a case like this are extremely important, which you'll see as this trial goes on, especially tech experts, you know, abuse experts, DV experts, psychologists, so on and so forth. So this judge came to this conclusion that, you know, it was substantial. If I could speak, that would be really fucking awesome. It was substantially true that he was a wife beater, based solely on Amber Heard's testimony when she was not the subject of this case. She was not even a party to this case. But anyway, basically, the UK case really isn't relevant here. And this brings me to the judge in the US Virginia case schooling Amber Heard's attorney in her opinion letter on Amber Heard's dismissal motions. So basically, Amber Heard's legal team tried on multiple occasions, on multiple grounds, using multiple arguments to get this case dismissed. And the judge was really not having it. And this opinion letter, it was like a law school lesson for Amber Heard's attorneys. And it was basically like, let me point out all the ways that you were wrong here. So I just want to go over a couple of things that she pointed out. So basically, in this opinion, a few key points here. The legal team for Amber Heard was trying to argue in their motion that, you know, this has already been litigated in the UK. You know, this case should just be dismissed. We're basically going over the same thing, so on and so forth. And the judge was not having that. And she made it very clear why she was not having it and pointed out a ton of case law and basically, like I said, schooled them, gave them a law school lesson. So she pointed out that in the case in the UK, the defendant was The Sun. It was not Amber Heard. So number one, that's our number one issue. The defendant in this case is Amber Heard. So we don't even have the same parties. The claims are not the same. They are not from the same defamation. The defamation in the UK case came from The Sun saying that he was a wife beater. This is coming from something that happened years later in 2018 in an op-ed in the Washington Post. Another issue. You know, the only real commonality here is that it is surrounding this issue of Johnny Depp being a potential abuser. So, you know, the judge, I think this is also important. The judge stated that she wasn't sure that JD had a fair and impartial trial by U.S. standards while he was in the U.K. And she even went so far as to call a lot of the arguments in Amber Heard's dismissal motion puzzling and unfounded. She also brought up the issue of comedy, and I don't mean like ha-ha-ha comedy, I mean comedy like the boring legal comedy, C-O-M-I-T-Y, which basically means that, like, for an example, like the way that if you're married in the UK, it's gonna constitute a marriage in the US. So, like, you know, we you would say, okay, we basically have the same procedure to have people get married, and we're gonna honor that over here. Now, the judge really wasn't having that either, and she did a whole section in her letter, in her opinion letter, on this. She pointed out the difference in the libel laws of Virginia. She said the Declaration of Independence and the First Amendment of the United States Constitution represent major departures from the English common law with respect to freedom of speech and freedom of the press. She said to hold that the two countries have similar libel laws is untenable. What else did she point out? The procedural differences, like I mentioned earlier, in the UK, defamation cases are only heard by one single judge. In the US, obviously, you always have a choice to have a jury trial. She also, this is also very important, she pointed out that in the UK trial, the defendant, in this case, Amber Heard, was not subject to the same discovery requirements, meaning, you know, she didn't have to turn over her cell phone, she didn't have to turn over any records. It was the son that was responsible for turning over discovery. So she basically said that comedy is not a matter of obligation, but rather a matter of courtesy, and that to enforce the UK defamation judgment in this case would go against public policy. And yeah, so she basically schooled them. I was actually pretty impressed with this, and it made me feel good about how this judge is looking at this case. Although at the end of the day, we know that in the U.S., it's not really about the judge; it's about the jury. But anyway, okay, so you know, let's move on and let's talk about the next set of pretrial motions which are coming into play. So basically, I think if you're listening to this, you probably know that there's a whole process called discovery during legal proceedings. And, you know, this is when parties exchange relevant information that is necessary for, you know, one side to defend with and the other side to prosecute or prove their case with. Generally in civil and criminal litigations, the attorneys know the rules, that, you know, they know what's good. They know what they are going to have to turn over and what they don't have to turn over. And honestly, it's pretty broad. There's really, unless it's completely irrelevant to the case, you're probably going to have to turn it over. And, you know, there was a lot of motion practice in this case, and that's not necessarily surprising, but it's a little surprising given that they had this, like, sort of discovery mediator that was appointed by the court that was supposed to be helping them, you know, not have a ton of arguments over discovery. But apparently that didn't help so much. But the most recent set of motions, and these are super important motions, were to compel evidence, and that was made by JD's team. Basically, Amber Heard and her legal team have been fighting, saying that they don't want to turn over her cell phones and her devices that have the original photos of her alleged injuries and the alleged damage that JD did to their penthouse. Also, I just want to say, I'm not really sure why the damage to his penthouse matters when I'm pretty sure he's the one that owns it, but either way, that may come up later. But so basically, Johnny Depp's attorneys made a motion to compel that evidence, saying, yo, like, we need these photos. Like, we need these photos. We need her cell phone so that we can, you know, verify that they were taken on X date and, you know, haven't been edited, haven't been manipulated. They need to look at the metadata, so on and so forth. So they made that motion, and the judge said, yeah, you know what? You're right. She does have to turn that over. And the judge made an order it was sometime in 2021, but the order basically said, listen, Amber Heard, you better turn your fucking shit over by November of 2021. Now, moving forward to, it's about, March of 2022. So we've got the trial starting in April. At this point, Johnny Depp's team has received a minute amount of the discovery that was at issue in that motion, and specifically had been directed by the judge to turn over to them by November. How many months later is this? So at this point, JD's team makes another motion. They're like, listen, if we can't have this evidence, the trial's about to start. This is extremely prejudicial. We can't effectively pursue our claim and prove our claim without this evidence. And it's their fault for not turning it over. It was court ordered. You know, for him not to have the original devices with authentic photos, to have them examined by an expert on their side, is extremely prejudicial, especially in a case like this. you know, without being able to confirm the metadata of those photos being consistent and that there has been no editing done to them is crucial to proving his case. So in their motion, they have they have an affidavit by him, and it's pointing out that from the few photos that they did receive from Amber Heard's team, they're showing that there is so much discrepancy in the metadata that it is showing that the photos are from the 1970s. Like, what the fuck? What the fuck is going on here? Metadata was not even around in the 1970s. Why would it be saying that? So basically, this motion asks the judge, as a consequence of their failure to provide the necessary discovery, was either to completely axe the injury photos and the damage photos, like, no, Amber Heard, you cannot use those in trial because you didn't timely turn them over and they seem to be manipulated, or B, fine, let them into evidence, but allow Johnny Depp's team to say, hey, they turned these over, but we can't authenticate these, and that's not on us, that's on them, so you take from that what you will. Basically an adverse inference. I'm not sure if that's a thing in Virginia, but it is in New York, and it basically means that, like, the jury is allowed to say, that's kind of sketchy. But at this point, we actually don't know what the decision on that motion was, since it just happened, like, so recently. The judge didn't even put her written order or her written opinion on the website yet, on the court website, so we'll have to see what happens with that as the case goes on, but I'll let you guys know what ends up happening. I do have to say, and like I said, I know I'm a little biased on this case, and I just think it's a little strange that if you are truly a victim of domestic violence, you would really, and this is all true, and your photos will line up with the dates and you know, will show that you did not edit them and so on and so forth, I don't see why you would not have turned those photos over from day one. If that proves that what you said was true, that gets you off of this case, period. Truth, we're going to get into this, but truth is an absolute defense to defamation. So if she can prove the truth of this, that's it, done. We're done here. So why didn't they turn these over from the get? I don't know. I think it's questionable. Sketchy, suspect, you pick the right word. But all right, now let's actually get into what free speech and defamation are in a very general way. So basically, I think you guys know, libel and slander are forms of defamation. And defamation, I know I keep saying we're going to do our First Amendment full-on episode, but these things keep coming up and I got to cover them, guys. But you're going to learn, and you probably already know, that the First Amendment is a really broad protection to your speech. And most of your speech is protected. There are very few exceptions to free speech. And all of those exceptions happen to be very narrowly construed. And one of those exceptions to free speech happens to be defamation. So, you know, like I said, defamation is one of the very few narrow exceptions to our First Amendment. And it's I can't speak today, guys. I'm really sorry. It is generally a very difficult standard to prove. And what is defamation? Basically, it's when you lie or make a false statement to another person and it damages another person's reputation. That's very bare bones definition. But let's dig a little deeper. To prove defamation, there's got to be a few elements that are met. One is that the defendant lied about the plaintiff. One is that the lie was made to a third party or somehow, you know, there was publication of that statement. That the plaintiff's reputation was harmed and that this harm was a result of that lie. Now, those are the elements for defamation for us regular folks. But when it comes to a public figure trying to prove defamation, there's actually an even bigger hurdle to overcome. And that is they must prove that the lie was said with actual malice. And that means that the person who said the lie in this situation, from Johnny's perspective, it means that Amber Heard made this lie and she knew it was false, or she said it with reckless disregard for the truth. So, like I said, Johnny Depp has his claim for defamation. She has her counterclaims about the statements of his attorney, Adam Waldman. And they would basically both have to prove that, because she's also a public figure, they would both have to prove that both of these defamatory statements were said with actual malice, meaning that they were known to be false and said with reckless disregard for the truth. Okay, so that's your very, very brief background on what defamation is. But if you're wondering why this case is in Virginia, let me tell you. Mainly, the answer to that is because the Washington Post publishes their paper out of Northern Virginia. But also, this was somewhat of a strategical move, I believe, on Johnny Depp's part. Basically, when this suit was filed in 2019, Virginia was a state that had much less strict anti-slap statutes than other jurisdictions like California, where this probably was. And no, anti-slap statutes were not enacted after the Oscars this year. Anti-slap statutes are strategic lawsuits against public participation. Basically, it says that a person is immune from civil liability for defamation if that statement is solely on the matters on is made solely on matters of public concern and would otherwise be protected under the First Amendment. So basically, what the defense here, what Amber here is trying to claim, is that her op-ed in the Washington Post, which discussed, you know, domestic violence victims and domestic violence survivors, should be covered by this anti-slap statute, and because it's a matter of public concern. So, but the now think about this, not think about this, listen to what I have to say. This immunity does not apply to statements made with actual or constructive knowledge that they were false. And, you know, listen, I'm not doing this anti-slap statute enough justice, but, like, I don't see, I truly, you know, it basically comes down to the fact that she's not going to be able to use this immunity if they prove that she lied, that he didn't abuse her, because how could she use the immunity? If you can't use this immunity with statements, if you knew that the statement was false, you can't use this immunity. So if he can prove that what she said was false, then she definitely can't use that immunity. But you know what, in my opinion, and listen, my opinion doesn't matter here, but I truly don't think it would be right to let someone ruin someone else's entire life and career and ride on the coattails of a movement like the Me Too movement and be protected from their defamatory statements. But what do I know? But anyway, all together now. So for this case, JD has to prove that Amber Heard lied in her op-ed in the Washington Post, that his reputation was harmed, and that the harm was a result of that lie. And then that additional standard, because he is a public figure, it makes it harder. He has to prove that she made those statements with actual malice and that she knew it was false when she said it. So, you know, you have to also remember that if she wants to succeed in her $100 million counterclaim, she's going to have to prove all of that too. And it's just also important to point out that in a defamation case, if the defendant can prove that the statement is true, truth is an absolute defense to defamation. So if either of them can prove that what they said or what their lawyer said in Johnny Depp's case was true, that is an absolute defense to defamation. But that's about it. That's basically it for the pretrial shenanigans, with motions at least, and, you know, discovery and giving a brief overview of what defamation is in Virginia and what they have to prove. So at the time that I'm doing this right now, they've actually already finished jury selection, and I was shocked that they already finished it, because it didn't even take a full day. If you remember how long the Ghislaine Maxwell jury selection took, I mean, this is like, whew. But let's see. The jury is made up of 11 people. Only 7 of them are going to be actual jurors. 4 of them are alternates. I've heard all of them are leaning towards the younger side. I don't know what that means exactly, but 8 of them are men, 3 of them are women, and it'll be interesting to see how that works out. But, you know, one thing I will say is that I think that even based on the recent evidence that's come out, that the court of public opinion is definitely leaning in favor of Johnny Depp. You know, when this initially came out, it was really, you know, it was bad for him. It looked terrible. What these allegations looked terrible. He lost jobs. He lost the public's backing. But now that all this new evidence has come out, I can't even say how much more I feel like the pendulum has swung in his direction. And It just seems pretty clear to me that even if he, I don't think the point of this case or of him bringing this defamation case was necessarily for him to win the defamation case. I think it was really a way for him, you know, it was just a way to clear his name. I think he just wanted to get his own story out there and say, listen, she is lying. Like, even if I can't win, like, from a legal standard or from a legal standpoint on a defamation case, at least now I'm going to have the chance to tell everybody what really fucking happened here. And I think you'll be surprised as we go through this. You know, there's a lot of evidence that's going to, you know, really show the character of who Amber Heard truly is. And you know, as we talk more about more of the evidence, I think a lot of people are going to have some pretty strong opinions on this, because I know I fucking do. But I'm not going to lie, guys. I know I'm really trying not to be biased. I may have to do a quickie episode about all these goddamn lies she's been caught in now that all this evidence that wasn't allowed in the UK is coming out now. If I do that, I will mark it as a bias episode. So, you know, if you don't want to listen to it and you'd rather, you know, kind of be like a jury member and be unbiased, unlike me right now, I'll let you know. But for now, the next episode, we're going to go over their opening statements of both sides, and we'll probably do the first 3 days of the trial. And yeah, so that's pretty much it for now. But if you want to stay tuned, you know, all the juicy details will come up, and this case is televised. So you know, if you want to check it out, it's on Court TV. I think it's on Law and Crime. I'm not sure what else, but I'll definitely be talking to you guys again real soon. And, you know, I can't cover this every day. It's just way too much, especially for 6 weeks. So I'll probably do an updated episode every few days, you know, unless, of course, something absolutely wild happens. But, oh, also, just an FYI, they are not holding court on Fridays. Not sure why that is, but basically it'll only be a Monday through Thursday situation. But yes, yeah, so like I said, probably every couple of days, because I just cannot handle doing this every day. But in the meantime, don't forget to rate and subscribe and write me a nice little love letter in the review section. Follow the show on Twitter at LDBlondePod and on Instagram at LegallyDirtyBlondePod. And until next time, remember, legally, dirty blondes have more fun.